This is CBC News. It's 3 o'clock Mountain, 4 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Eastern. Good afternoon, I'm Stephanie Matisse with The World This Hour. Police in York Region, north of Toronto, say they are looking for a lone suspect wanted in connection with the deadly shooting this morning. Two people were killed and two others were wounded when shots rang out in a cafe at a strip mall in Vaughan. Constable Andy Pattinton is with the York Regional Police.
The two people that were deceased, sadly, they did succumb to their injuries here at the scene. They have been identified. The first is Maria Voci, 47 years old, from the city of Vaughan. The second is Christopher Desimone, 24 years, also from the city of Vaughan. And once again, the two men that were taken to hospital, one is in stable condition, the other is in life-threatening condition.
A police forensic team remains at the scene of the shooting. Investigators also are collecting evidence from area surveillance cameras. Boston Marathon bomber Dzhokhar Tsarnaev apologized today for the 2013 deadly attack. Speaking at his sentencing hearing, he told survivors he was sorry. A judge then sentenced Tsarnaev to death. As Bill Marcus reports, most of today's hearing was devoted to victim impact statements.
The day began with emotional testimony from 24 people representing 23 victims. 8-year-old Martin Richards' father, who publicly campaigned for Tsarnaev to get life in prison, telling the man that killed his child and maimed his daughter and wife that he could have stopped his brother. He could have changed his mind, walked away with a minimal sense of humanity, and report to authorities that his brother had the intent to hurt others, but that instead he chose to do nothing. It ended with Dzhokhar Tsarnaev praising Allah and apologizing to the victims. His hand over his heart, he offered prayers for their relief and healing. Said Tsarnaev, "I ask Allah to have mercy on me, my brother, and my family." In a hushed tone voice and accented English, the bomber saying that throughout the trial, he had learned the victims' names, faces, ages, even their souls. Judge George O'Toole reminded him that whenever your name is mentioned, what will be remembered is the evil you have done. He then sentenced Tsarnaev to death, likely by lethal injection. Leaving the courthouse, one survivor of the marathon bombing said he's still processing Tsarnaev's words.
He could have done that a long time ago, as far as I'm concerned. You know, everybody was waiting for him to do something great. And he did his thing. He blew people up. He got what he deserved.
Bill Marcus, CBC News, Boston.
Christopher Phillips' five-month ordeal is over. Today, the Halifax man accused of possessing and threatening police with a rare and dangerous chemical was found not guilty. A Nova Scotia judge acquitted Phillips on charges of uttering threats and possession of a dangerous weapon. As the CBC's Stephen Paddycombe reports, Phillips' lawyer says his client has been through enough.
A bit of hell, being put in jail for an offense that he didn't commit.
That's how Mike Taylor, Christopher Phillips' lawyer, sums up his client's experience over the last 5 months. Phillips' story started in January when his wife complained to police about her husband's deteriorating mental health and his purchase of a poisonous substance. That led to several searches, homes being evacuated for days, finally coming to an end in Ottawa with a final search and the arrest of Phillips. Police did locate hazardous and volatile chemicals in a cottage, including osmium tetroxide. It can be absorbed through the skin and can be lethal. And a search warrant revealed the police believed they would find uranium, other radioactive material, and at least one pipe bomb. None of that was ever found. The threat against police was based on an email to a friend that was dismissed by the judge. Karen Quigley is the Crown prosecutor in the case.
Nothing went wrong with the case. The Crown put forward the evidence that the police derived in the course of their investigation.
Mike Taylor says his client's reputation has been severely damaged, saying he was accused of being a domestic terrorist and wrongly held in jail for almost half a year.
I'm simply saying that mistakes were made and the incorrect decision was made. Whether or not that leads to a possibility of a civil action and compensation, I'm not prepared to comment on at this point.
Taylor says he'll meet with Phillips in the coming days to decide what, if any, steps they should take. Stephen Puddycombe, CBC News, Halifax.
The French president says U.S. President Barack Obama has repeated a promise not to spy on him. François Hollande says the two spoke by telephone after WikiLeaks released new evidence of U.S. spying on French presidents. French Prime Minister Manuel Valls calls the revelations unacceptable.
Ces informations sont très graves.
These reports are very serious. These practices are abnormal between two democratic states with a long-standing alliance.
The White House says it is not and will not spy on France, but didn't confirm or deny whether spying had taken place in the past. A Dutch judge has ordered the government to cut greenhouse gas emissions by at least a quarter over the next 5 years. The Dutch environmental group, Urgenda, launched the case, arguing the government had a legal obligation to protect its citizens from the dangers of climate change. Marianne Minesma is the director of Urgenda. She says the judge pointed to the fact that the low-lying Netherlands is particularly vulnerable to rising sea levels.
Of course, the Netherlands can't do it on its own, but it can do its own contribution. So we have to do at least what we need to do, and if all other countries do the same, then we can together fight climate change.
The group is hoping the case will set a global precedent for dealing with greenhouse gases. Negotiations to end the fighting in Yemen continue in neighboring Oman. Saudi Arabia is leading a bombing campaign in an attempt to combat the rebel Houthi who hold the capital Sana'a. Residents say conditions in Sana'a have deteriorated.
Life is miserable. No water, no electricity, no diesel. This is the only place where you can get water during the day, and it's only available for 2 to 3 hours.
And some in the capital say the Saudis shouldn't be bombing.
We don't have the right to attack our country. And that's why we hope that they will stop this aggression against our country.
The Red Cross says a ship carrying 1,000 tons of food and three large generators from Oman has docked in Yemen. Federal politicians hoping to woo Quebec voters are in the province celebrating Saint Jean-Baptiste Day. The holiday is also known as Fête Nationale. Prime Minister Stephen Harper held a campaign-style event in Saint-Marie, south of Quebec City.
I have often said Canada was born in French. Canada as a country spreading from sea to sea was first conceived by Francophones, the first people to call themselves Canadiens. And Canada will continue to grow and prosper thanks in no small part to the contributions of Quebecers and all Francophone Canadians.
Opposition leader Tom Mulcair, Liberal leader Justin Trudeau, and Bloc Québécois leader Gilles Duceppe are also in the province today. And whether you're celebrating Fête Nationale or just the end of your workday, you may be doing it with a beer in your hand. But which brew to choose? More craft beers made by independent breweries are now competing with the big labels. The market is thriving, and as Briar Stewart reports, that means more breweries opening in Canada, sometimes in unusual locations.
The main street in Edgerton, Alberta, has seen better days. Just 300 people live in this village. It's where Cal Hawks grew up, and it's where he and three friends came up with a plan to revitalize the community by turning the old farming equipment dealership into a brewery.
Kind of started it. We wanted to just become a really successful business, something that kind of put Edgerton on the map.
After enlisting some help, they formed Ribstone Creek Brewery, and it's now part of Canada's growing craft beer market. Jason Foster is a beer columnist and keeps a database on the number of breweries in Canada.
3 or 4 years ago, we had about 200 breweries. I'm well over 450 now.
And many of those new breweries are hiring. Peter Johnston Beresford runs the Brewmaster and Brewery Operations Management Program at Olds College. One of the biggest problems, he says, is getting students to finish the two-year program.
They're being headhunted into the trade already, and that happens fairly quickly.
Students not only learn about how to make beer, but also about the business of selling it. And at Ribstone Creek, that's something Hawk says he wishes they knew more about.
Didn't know anywhere near as what we should have about marketing and that type of thing. So I think we're still really learning on the marketing part.
Because with all those new microbreweries, you have to make your beer stand out on a shelf becoming crowded with many more choices. Briar Stewart, CBC News, Edgerton, Alberta.
That is your World This Hour. Stay tuned for regional news in 20 minutes on Radio 1. I'm Stephanie Matisse. This is CBC News.